All right, Senator Grabinger, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Glad to be here. I just left the session on my way home here. I stopped by and visit with you.
Yeah, so we're recording this on Friday, and so you got some work done today, and so about anti-discrimination.
Yeah, that was one of the bills we took up today. It hit the floor today. It had been in committee meeting this week in Judiciary. Our member of our caucus that serves on the Judiciary Committee, Senator Jonelle Bakke from up at Grand Forks, she's the one that presented the bill and put it in. It's similar to the anti-discrimination bill in the past. I actually co-sponsored this bill last session, and it really does is spells out the effort to try and keeps them so that it comes down to their jobs and rent. We don't want them kicked out of their homes and discriminated and fired from their jobs because they happen to be gay or love somebody of the same sex. I mean, this day and age, I think most people recognize that those people are part of our society. They're fruit of the earth, just like many of the rest of us, and they have a right to a good, happy life. We don't want anybody discriminated. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
It didn't pass. In the Senate, the vote was 20 votes for, 27 against, and so it failed again this year. But I think it's important that it's brought to the table and us senators make a decision, and maybe one day it'll get over to the House and see what they do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important that it's heard and that we try and put an end to any discrimination out there towards anybody.
Yeah. And then any other big, big events going on at the Capitol this week?
Well, we had a couple things this week. On Tuesday, one of the bills I primary sponsored was a raise for the state employees. And my bill was for $300 a month, the first year of the biennium, and then 3% in the second year of the biennium. The big difference between my bill and one that is sponsored by a Republican colleague of mine and some other Republican colleagues was the difference was theirs was 2% in the second year. Mine was 3%, which is kind of minor in that sense. But mine is across the board raises, where theirs is a merit increase. And I just think at this point, we don't want anybody left behind. And with the merit increases, there are people being left behind, and we know that. For one reason or another, maybe they have a personality clash with their supervisor or something like that, and so they're not getting a raise. And look, our state employees haven't had a raise in 4 years. Now the governor proposed cutting back on their health insurance and making them pay part of that on top of this. I mean, it's time that we start treating our state employees for the value they really are to this state. We have very dedicated state employees all across the state, whether it be Human Services, Department of Corrections. You just heard today on the news, we had an incident at the prison where 7 of our officers were apparently assaulted to some degree. We just hope they're okay. But my point is, we haven't treated our state employees right. We've got to stop this behavior, and I want to start with a $300 across-the-board raise so that all those on the bottom end, say, for instance, earning a $40,000 a year paycheck or $30,000, they're getting a sizable income. That's $3,600 a year. Mm-hmm. That's a good boost, okay? It may not be for the guy that's getting $110,000 or $120,000, but what we've been doing is giving a 2% increase or 3%, 2% is what I understand is being pushed by the other house. And to me, that's appalling. Somebody that hasn't gotten a raise in 4 years, we're going to offer them a 2% raise at a $30,000 income. That's only a $60 a month raise. And at the same time, we're going to turn around and make them pay for part of their health insurance too, $28 a month. So we really can't do that stuff. And that's kind of what they're proposing, and I hope with my bill they'll take some sense in it and recognize that this is all about keeping the benefits for our state employees healthy and stable and giving a raise where these people desperately need it.
Yeah. So where does that bill stand?
Right now it's in the Appropriations Committee. We heard it on Tuesday in the Senate Appropriations Committee, and the Senate Appropriations will take it up, and then they'll have a discussion because there's a House bill that deals with state salary increases as well. And then there's the governor's proposal, which was 4% the first year in a merit increase and 2% in the second year in a merit increase. But then he wanted to take away make them pay for part of their insurance, or they could opt out of that and take a higher deductible and less coverage in their insurance, and then they don't have to pay nothing. Well, that's, you know, the problem is those people that can't afford to have that money taken out of their check, they're relegated to that option then, and they get less coverage, they get a higher deductible, so if they do get into a situation, they just get deeper. It's just not a good plan. So I hope we can keep the benefits the same and treat our employees the way we're supposed to.
Yeah, and so you've introduced two bills so far this session. And so that first one was 2128, and the other one 2233, dealing with health insurance coverage for infertility treatment. Do you want to talk about that?
Certainly.
Yeah.
We've been working on that. What this is a cryopreservation bill for women who are suffering infertility, most often due to the possibility of a cancer diagnosis, cancer treatments, or some other diseases that affect their infertility. And what it does right now, insurance, if they have it, is capped at $20,000 on this procedure. And so the cost of extracting eggs and cryopreserving them so that they could later on go through an IVF procedure, IU procedure, in order to try and become a mother and have a family, the $20,000 doesn't cover it. And what we're saying is for these few women who are stuck in this situation with these medical conditions, let's go to bat for them and have our insurance companies step up to the plate for them. It hasn't been adjusted in many years, and we should take a look at it. And if we can help those ladies have the opportunity to become parents and have families down the road, then that's what this is. It's a pro-family bill. It's something we need to step up and try and get the legislature to recognize and get it done.
Mm-hmm. And so as a member of the Senate Appropriations Committee, you're charged with dealing with the budget. And so what are some of the areas of interest for you, or something that's been kind of standing out for you when it comes to this process?
Well, certainly the big thing is human services right now, and that's in the Senate Appropriations Committee, and we're dealing with that right now. And there's many, many facets to the human services, from DD to behavioral health, mental health, the talk about the state hospital and building a new state hospital, which was a proposal that the governor has put on the table. I think, in my view, I'd like to see us do a two-year study on that before we jump into something as big as building a new state hospital and taking these steps and moving these clients or patients at the state hospital and making these very difficult decisions. Let's make sure we're doing the right thing. I mean, the governor proposed, for example, an 80-bed state hospital. I personally think that's ridiculous. Why would you build it to the size you are now when you could have a problem where, you know, later you need more beds and you've built it to capacity? That's ridiculous. Let's take a look at this, study this, and see what the trends are, see what we need to do, which is in the best interest of not only financially, which is what I think we got now, a problem with everybody's looking at how can we cut, and save. And I'm of the belief that we as a state, we have responsibilities to provide some services to our citizens, and we have for many, many years. And when we cut to the level we are now, we are cutting some of those very services that we must provide these citizens of ours. I think we have a responsibility to do it, and we've got to tackle the issues and tackle these needs, but at the same time, do it as efficiently as we can.
Mm-hmm. And so for the budget, where does that stand as of right now in terms of what stage, if the bill's still being drafted for the budget?
Well, we had to have any bill that requires an appropriation had to be in by last Friday. Monday was the last day for us senators to put in bills. The House members couldn't put any in, I think, from the week ago Monday. So the bills are in for the most part. Everything is done in that sense. But now we have to figure out what levels we're going to do. For example, we talked about the salaries and what that's going to do for the budget. Benefits package for our state employees, what that's going to do to our budget. We got to look at all these things, our human services budget. And right now, we've got half the budgets in the Senate appropriations. We're going through all them and deciding what we think is the best avenue for the state to pursue in funding. And then once we get done with them, they'll go over to the House, and we'll get the House's half of the bills, half of the departments, and we'll go through them. And that's what happens really with the appropriation bills. And then we also have to take the policy bills that are in our policy committees that have appropriations on them, and we have to get them through, and we have to figure out where all the money's. We're limited in our funds desperately now for the last two bienniums. And so we really have to be tough on the decisions we make, and it's sometimes very frustrating. But to see some of the level of cuts we make in programs that are thrown to the wind because we just don't have the funding anymore. And that's really frustrating. Some really good programs have been lost. But that's the nature of the business right now. And hopefully we'll quit making those cuts to revenues and start getting back to the idea that we need to take care of our people.
And do you have anything else you'd like for the listeners to know? Any updates from the Capitol as we kind of wrap things up here?
Well, there's a lot of talk about the Teddy Roosevelt Library. Personally, I'm not a big proponent of that. I think when we're cutting things like behavioral health needs, higher education, K-12 funding, we're raising taxes for our because we're not paying that education funding to the level we did. And so the taxes on our citizens is going up in the counties. When we're doing things like that, it's hard for me to want to set aside $50 million to build a $150 million library for Teddy Roosevelt. Not that it wouldn't be a good thing somewhere down the road if we had the extra money, but as it is right now, I can't buy that. Another bill that's drawing a lot of attention is 2315, and that's the trespass bill. This is a bill that is sponsored by Senator Eberle, and this would make all private property in the state off limits without permission to enter. And that's not how we've had it in years past. I don't support this. I've voted against it before, and I'll vote against it again, and I'll probably speak against it. Because you know what? In North Dakota, it's already hard sometimes to find a place to go hunting. And you can ask, and a lot of land is already tied up, and a farmer has every right to tie up his land and post it, and I get that. But there's nothing wrong with the laws we have regarding that. I don't think we should do something that is trying to fix a problem that I don't see we have.
All righty. Well, sounds good. Thank you so much for joining us.
You bet. Thanks for having me.